The Angels begin a three-game series this weekend against the full of integrity, great character Houston Astros, and John and I are going to do a brother versus brother battle to see who's paying attention to the Angels the most, and we're going to give you our big, bad, bold predictions for the weekend series. We'll tell you what the headlines will say about the Angels on Monday. You're Locked On with Mike and John, and this is Locked On Angels.
You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks for making Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. We're free and we're available wherever you get your podcast. If you're listening on the audio side, you can rate and review the pod. It helps people to find it. And if you're watching on the video side, you can subscribe and click the bell to be notified so that you know every time a new episode drops.
We appreciate you joining us for another edition of Locked On Angels. You've got the Frisch Brothers here with you, aka the Super Halo Bros. My name is John, that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
And we're here to get you prepared for this weekend series against Houston, but we're going to talk a couple of things through before we get to that. One of the things that surprised us last weekend, Mike, was that big brawl, that Royal Rumble the Angels had against the Mariners. You know, it's been said a lot when players play each other eight times in the span of a week and a half, there's going to be some tensions, and that's certainly what happened with the Halos and the Mariners last weekend. Things kind of boiled over, and so we saw that as kind of an opportunity for the Angels to get their fire back and their passion back. And I have to say, I think going 3-1 since that fight, one game against the Mariners, which was the day the fight happened, two against the White Sox, who are kind of finding themselves in the same kind of place that the Angels are in terms of trying to come back and battle back to 500, not living quite up to the expectations that people had for them. I think the same could be said about the Angels and the White Sox. And so we want to ask the question, did the fight on Sunday influence anything this week, or is that something that we're just kind of making up in our heads as fans?
Well, let's look at the offense for a moment, because that's been the biggest struggle for the Angels, right? And so here's the run scored, including that Mariners game when the Royal Rumble took place. We scored two runs, then we scored four, then we scored four, then we scored four. And then our pitching, which has kind of improved, and we have left them hanging a bit, the starting pitching specifically, bullpen's been terrible. The pitching this week was pretty good. I guess you could say pretty good. One run on Sunday against the Mariners, although they lost three of their best hitters. So I don't know how much we want to judge that amount of runs and if that was a good thing or a bad thing. We did give up three runs, 11 runs, and then one run against the White Sox. And so I'm looking at that, John, and as a fan, I go, that doesn't really feel any different. It doesn't feel like we had a spark at all. The pitching actually is the reason why we won the games that we won, and it was the bullpen the reason why we lost the game that we lost, which has kind of been the narrative since the middle of May, right? And so I don't know if that sparked anything. I don't know if it caught fire for the Angels, and I don't know if it's going to shape anything moving forward. We are going to be missing some players, and we have missed some coaches already. Phil Nevin isn't able to be there. He's serving a 10-game suspension. Ray Montgomery has two games, I believe, that he's going to have to serve, and so they're going to have to figure out who's going to be the interim manager when he's gone. And then the biggest hit is going to be that Rysell, if his suspension is held up, is going to have to serve two games. And same thing with Ryan Tepera. He's going to have to serve, I think, two games as well. Now, I don't think that Rysell is going to get a lesser suspension because he did kind of go nuts and threw things on the field and sunflower seeds and all of that stuff. And so I think the MLB is going to look at that and go, you're going to have to serve the two games. Ryan Tepera, I don't know what Ryan did, but I wonder if he might actually get one game less. But they were the reason why we won that last game against the White Sox. They came in and held the game. And so I just wonder how their absence is going to affect this team. And I wonder how missing some of the coaches is going to affect this team. Going 3-1 this week, that's awesome. Yeah. That's great, right? And heading into this series, we needed that. I don't really have an answer, John. I'm kind of meh. I'm kind of neutral. I'm Switzerland on this. Where do you land?
I think that the reason why Rysell Iglesias is so upset was because he was ejected and he really didn't have too much to do with the fight. And so he was more upset at the ejection, which caused the reaction that he got. Because if you watch the John Boy breakdown of this fight, which he did a really good job on, you could see that there's a point where he goes, "Me? What did I do?" And so that's when he loses it. And I interpreted it as he was ticked off about the brawl and trying to keep his guys fired up. But you could see that he was very upset about the fact that he got ejected. And
Now, could I just insert something real quick? Here's what's funny about that. Scott Servais also said to the umps when they kicked him out, "Me? What did I do?" While his shirt was untucked,
he's in the middle
his
of the
jersey
pile.
Was ripped, and his hair was a mess. And he's like, "What did I do?" Right? And Rysell was still like in his warm-ups, and he had his hat on. And so I can understand why Rysell was fired up. Scott Servais, that was just a joke. Yeah. Like, you were right in the middle of that mess calling people names. Anyway, you can continue.
Credit to Servais, though, for, you know, being an old head and being in that thing. He was kind of like Dom Chidi getting ejected too. But look, I just have to say that I know that we scored four runs, but you got to look at where the runs came from, and a lot of what contributed to our winning ways on Monday was the fact that the Angels were getting back to productive outs and small ball and bunting and doing things that helped support the rest of the team. We cannot continue to rely on Taylor Ward and Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani and sometimes Jared Walsh to keep this team in a fight. And look, four runs, I'm not going to complain about four runs, because realistically, a strong pitching staff and bullpen should be able to hold a team to three runs. And that's all
that's good, we can ask for
from our starters and from our relievers. And the offense, who we've bragged on for years, especially the last 2 years, where it's like, oh, great, the only way we're going to win this game is if it's 15-8, which is what they've done in the past. Especially when their bullpen has been awful. But I'm like, where's that team? Where's that team that was scoring all those runs? And I think it really goes to show that they've gotten away from some of their approaches at the plate, some of the ways that they manufacture runs, and I think that the Angels just need to continue doing that. That 11-run issue on Tuesday against the White Sox, look, that just was a complete breakdown of the bullpen, and I think was an effect of the fact that this fight made us lose a lot of our players, including like Andrew Wance, and we're still waiting for Austin Warren to get back. By the way, we failed to mention that freak injury, and I retweeted somebody who said, "You forgot Austin Warren getting hit with a foul ball in the face or a warm-up ball in Boston." He's hasn't come back yet, and he's almost there. So it just goes to show that we are missing some key pieces from the result of that fight, and I think that 11 runs wouldn't have happened if we hadn't been in that situation, and it was a bummer because Silseth started out that game really strong.
Yeah, he looked really, really good, and he looked like the Chase Silseth that pitched against the Athletics, right? He looked like that guy that went six innings, and I think he gave up like one hit, and we were really stoked about Chase, and then for some reason just kind of fell apart as he went through the lineup. I believe it was like the second, maybe third time, and they started figuring him out, and then it was 3-3 when he left, and then after that, it just felt like the wheels fell off when the bullpen came in.
It was really bad. Look, I don't know what this will make of the rest of the season, but I can say I've heard it from multiple players who have been talking to reporters and our beat writers and everything. This really brings a team together, and it shows that they have each other's back, and they're not going to tolerate, you know, any shenanigans throwing at Mike Trout or whoever it might be. In fact, Joe Kelly let one get away from him, and it almost hit Trout, and you could tell immediately that he was like, "Ah, crap, I didn't mean to." And, and Trout looked out and he smiled at him because it's Joe Kelly and he knows Joe Kelly. And he's like, he didn't make anything of it. And that's the thing, is nobody came out and told Joe Kelly, throw up an in. And then they proceeded to do it twice and almost hit him twice. It was an accident. And that's the big difference here. But all of that to say, I think moving forward, if anything is going to come out of this fight, it's that these players are going to be bonded together. They have each other's backs. And I think that's a good mindset to have when you're struggling. And I really hope that they can turn it around this weekend against the Astros, because if they can survive this weekend and this road trip, I think it's going to be a big difference maker in this season. And if they don't, then I think the writing will be on the wall. But at the same time, this fight, I think, was something that the Angels certainly needed. And I can't complain about the fact that it's something that bonded them together. They'll get through the consequences, and they'll be able to have their team back together. But in the meantime, I think that this Houston series is going to be a real prove-it series for them.
Well, coming up, John and I are actually going to talk about this Houston series, and we're going to give our big, bad, bold predictions for the weekend. What are they going to be saying about the Angels on Monday? So John and I are going to talk a bit about that, but first, Locked On Angels is brought to you by our friends at Bet Online. BetOnline.net is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. You can find all the latest sports development, league reviews, news at BetOnline. They're your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check on all your favorite sports and events, including MMA, boxing, and golf. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and actions. BetOnline is where the game starts.
We love having ourselves a little competition around these parts, and we hope you'll join in with us as you're watching or listening. Mike and I are going to do a little brother versus brother. We want to determine who is following the Angels more closely, and we're going to go by guessing which player has a specific stat. So yeah. Why don't I start this one out, Michael? How about
okay.
this?
Okay, I'm ready. I'm ready.
In terms of the highest OPS on the team, we have Mike Trout with over 1,000.
Yes.
Who is second highest OPS on the Angels?
Okay, well, I think I'm going to have to go with... Is Ohtani... Thinking about Ohtani's stats... I'm going to say Ohtani because of how he's been hitting lately.
He's been hitting well lately, but it's not good enough to get him second place.
Oh, it's Taylor
OPS.
Ward.
Yes, it's Taylor Ward.
It's Taylor Ward. Okay. Ah, man.
Mostly because, I mean, Taylor Ward is such a patient hitter.
Yes.
That, and he's got a lot of extra base hits, but he's also walking a lot more, too. So
yeah.
While Ohtani is certainly crushing it and his average is climbing, and of course, he's got the power. Taylor Ward just outdoes him there. So, yeah, okay. Highest OPS is Trout. Second highest, Taylor Ward.
Okay, so the highest average on the team is Taylor Ward.
Mm-hmm.
Who's number two, Johnny?
Oh, that's easy. That's Trout.
Yeah, that one's easy. Here's the thing is when we talk about offensive stats, it's either Trout, Ohtani, or Ward, I think, right?
Right.
All right, give me another one. Okay. Let me get this one right.
Let's talk about most home runs. Mike Trout, of course, has... the most home runs, but I want to know, I'm going to throw you a curveball here.
Okay.
So you can hit a home run.
Okay.
Who's got the second most and who's got the third most?
Okay. I'm going to go with Ohtani at number two.
Yes.
And then I'm going to go second most. I think that Walsh has more than Ward. So I'm going to go with Walsh.
You're correct. Jared Walsh does have more.
Do I get 2
Taylor
points
Ward.
For that one?
Yes. I'll give you okay. 2 points. So that'll make up for the OPS.
Boneheaded decision to go with Ohtani at OPS. Okay, great.
All right, hit me, Mike.
Leading the team in RBIs currently, who is it? Who's number one?
You know, for a long time, Brandon Marsh was up there, but
yeah,
I got to go with Ohtani.
It is Ohtani. And for okay. double points, who's number two?
No, Marsh has been slumping too much. He started out so well, but
yeah.
Okay, no, it's got to be Trout. Trout's got way too many home runs to not be up there.
Yeah, it's Trout.
Okay, good. Yeah, there was just something about Brandon Marsh because I knew for a while he was up there in one or two in terms of RBIs on this team. So.
He was knocking in a ton of runs to start the season. I remember he had 20. I think he was the first to 20 on this team.
Yeah,
so
him and Ohtani were crushing it for a while.
Okay, hit me.
All right, let's see. Who is leading the team in stolen bases? Yeah.
I... am not sure. who is leading the team in stolen bases? I want to say Tyler Wade, but I think that's wrong because I don't think he's had as many plate appearances. And so I'm going to go with another infielder. I'm going to go with Velasquez.
Hey, dude, I'm surprised you got that because...
Yes.
I was surprised at that stat. Velasquez is number one
on
stolen bases. Now, the second one might surprise you, too. Can you guess the second one?
Is that Marsh?
It's not Marsh. It's Ohtani.
Of course it's Ohtani.
Ohtani's got eight stolen bases.
I know. That guy does everything. Good grief.
Gee, I wonder who's going to win MVP this season.
Aaron Judge. No.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right,
all he does is pitch and hit.
I love when you do voices.
Thank you.
Okay, so most strikeouts by a batter. Who's leading the team and striking out the most? Is this a softball? is that your final answer? No, it's
not
Marsh.
Velasquez?
No, it's Marsh. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
It feels like it's Velasquez, right?
Maybe it's because Marsh has more games than him.
How about number two? And it's not Velasquez. I'll give you a hint. It's not Velasquez. Yeah. Number two.
Ohtani?
No, it's Walsh.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, so Jared Marsh. Marsh and Walsh are the first two. Okay. Yeah. Well, we're struck out on that one.
we're like high in home runs, and then we're really high in strikeouts. This team strikes out all the time.
Yeah. We have a really high percentage. I actually have that stat pulled up for us. But
oh, nice.
Okay, let's do the top two starters in ERA.
Okay.
And the bullpen.
Oh. Dang. Okay.
So four points on the line here, Michael.
I know. Don't blow it, Frisch. How about top two? So Ohtani's in the top two.
He is in the top two.
Okay. And then another starter?
Another starter.
That's Sandoval.
That's Sandoval.
Okay. Yeah. Who's number one? Who's number two?
Sandoval's first, actually. Ohtani is second.
Really? Yeah, that's right. Man, that guy has been crushing. If he could just go more than five innings, he would actually probably be in Cy Young contention, right?
No kidding. Now, the bullpen might be a little bit harder. Man. Actually, you might be able to get this.
Okay. Bullpen, top two. Rysell?
Rysell is in there, yes.
And who else? Man.
People are screaming at their screens and their car radios listening to the podcast.
It's not Loop. Is it Tapera?
It's not Tapera. It is the human glitch, Jimmy Herget.
Jimmy Herget.
See what happens when he gets hurt? You forget all about how good he's been.
That's why he's been DFA'd a couple of times. All right. How about innings pitched, Johnny, for the starters, and then give me innings pitched for the bullpen. First and second for starters, first and second for bullpen.
I'm going to go with Ohtani.
That's one.
Okay, for innings pitch, so he's one of them.
That's one.
The only other guy I can think of who's gotten length is Michael Lorenzen.
That's two. Yeah.
Are they? Are you serious?
You nailed it. Yep.
Oh, nice.
Nailed it. How about bullpen? Who actually is pitched the most innings for the bullpen?
The most innings for the bullpen. I know for sure. Jimmy Herget's in there.
He is. Yep.
Because
he's number two.
Oh.
He's number two.
Okay. Let's see.
Somebody has pitched more from the bullpen than Herget.
Somebody pitched more than Herget. Yeah, because Herget's come in so much to clean up. Let's see. There's Warren, Wance, Oliver, Ortega.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
No.
Oh!
Jaime Barria.
Oh, my gosh. Come on.
Again, when he's not in there, we just forget.
I just figured Ortega had come in and done a couple of multiple innings, but he's also been not on the team for the last month. So
what
was I thinking?
You weren't, apparently.
Good grief, Jonathan. All right, this one's obvious, Mike. Saves, you have Rysell Iglesias, but who has the most saves after Rysell?
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to go with Herget because I think that he's been in there the most, and he seems to be at the end of games when we were really struggling.
It's not Herget.
Not Herget. Okay. Is it Tapera?
It's not Tapera. It's Mr. Crash Landing, Broken Elbow himself.
It's Bradley?
It's Archie Bradley with two saves.
How the heck? He's not even been pitching.
I know.
I think these stats are wrong. Okay.
There's a difference between getting a save and finishing out the game. And so they've counted on Archie Bradley to save the game for us, essentially.
Yeah. Let me see here. The next one is most games pitched. Been in the most games. Made the most appearances.
Ooh. Trying to think. Tapera, Archie Bradley usually are in there. is it Aaron Loop?
It is Aaron Loop.
I knew it because he's in there all the time. Yes. And yeah. he's stinking it up. I really wish that he could turn his season around, man. I knew
it. Throwing Kathy's cookies.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. All right, Mike. Who on this team have played the most games? Position players who have played the most games.
Position hitters. Players. Okay. Hitters?
Yes. I'm giving it.
Yeah. So Ohtani. Ohtani's yes. played. Yeah.
The way I phrased it, I blew it.
Ohtani's played the most, which is remarkable,
yeah.
right? Like,
yeah, I mean, no
he's
kidding.
Pitching and hitting, and he's managing the team. and then who's number two?
Number two.
Who's been in there the most? Trout's been hurt. Probably not Marsh. Man, I want to say Velasquez or Walsh. I'm going to go Velasquez.
No, it's Walsh.
Oh, is it Walsh? Okay, yeah.
Walsh.
Because he's been in there a lot, and so is Velasquez. Yeah.
They're finally stopped not doing the freaking matchup thing that they've been doing with Walsh.
Amen.
That has been a thorn in our side, watching yeah. Walsh have to sit against lefties. Fortunately, they're not doing that anymore. So
yeah.
I don't know what the score was, but hopefully at home you were listening. And hopefully that was fun for you guys trying to guess along as well. And if you have any other interesting tidbits you want to send us, send them our way, of course. At Locked On Angels or at Super Halo Bros.
John, you mentioned that we forgot about the Austin Warren injury. There was another injury before we do segment three. There was another injury that somebody brought up, I think, on our YouTube page. Remember in 2003, Brad Fulmer blew his knee out against the Mariners?
I did forget about that one.
I forgot about that one, too. And I remember I was at that game.
And, are you serious?
And I remember Mariners fans, like, standing up and chanting and, like, cheering. And people were throwing stuff at them. And because they were, like, kind of making fun of the moment.
Oh.
And the Angels weren't really good at that time. They let them kind of run it back because they just won the World Series. And I think we're, like, 2 or 3 games under 500. And so Mariner fans were cheering and kind of mocking that moment. And people were booing them. And
yeah,
it was sad because Brad was running down first base. And then he hit it in a kind of a funky way and his knee popped. And so it was terrible. So, all right. We decided that normally we give our keys to the weekend. We decided that it's time to give some bold predictions. We want to predict what they're going to say on Monday about the Angels. And so, Johnny, I'd like to go first, if you don't mind.
Please.
Okay. So here's a few bold predictions that I'm going to make for this weekend. I'm going to start with ones that are probably reasonable, and then I'm going to get really ridiculous on you. Okay?
Okay.
One bold prediction. David McKinnon is going to hit his first major league home run this weekend.
Oh, I like that one. You know what? That jigsaw puzzle piece stadium they have down there, the juice box.
Yeah.
I'm sure that he'll hit one that wouldn't be a home run anywhere else, and he'll hit one there because the weird shape of the walls there.
Yeah. Maybe over the fence or maybe just an inside the park home run, right?
Yeah, that too, huh?
Second bold prediction, Max Stassi is going to break out of his slump this weekend, and he's going to be a key to the Angel winning weekend for us. Max Stassi.
Ooh. He does like hitting. He seems like he does like hitting in Houston.
Yeah.
I do have to say that. Or in Texas in general.
And then third bold prediction. I have four. This is my third. Okay. Third bold prediction, Renjifo is going to have a big weekend, defensively and offensively. I think we're going to look back at this weekend and go, man, he was solid all weekend long.
Yeah, yeah. He's already began that this week. He had some great plays. And, of course, the offense has been there this week, too. So
yeah.
Let's hope that he can do that.
Okay, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Here we go. This is my big, bold prediction. I teased it out on yesterday's episode, but I'm going to say it right now. The Angels sweep the Astros this weekend. They sweep the Astros all 3 games. And the reason why I think that is because they've got Lorenzen going and they've got Sandoval going and they've got just, I think I like the guys that they have pitching this weekend. And I think that something happens and I think that something hits. And I think that these guys actually hold the Astros down and the Angels sweep the Houston Astros in Houston. That's what we're going to be talking about on Monday. That's big. Dang. That's bad. That's bold.
That is bold. That is bold.
Yeah.
I wish that my prediction was as bold as yours.
Okay.
But it might just be because of the way that we've been going lately.
Okay, I'm ready.
But let me tell you this. I think that Michael Lorenzen, Patrick Sandoval, and Jose Suarez
yep.
are all going to deliver quality starts this weekend.
Okay, cool.
I think so that they will.
6 innings, right? They're going to go six and three mm-hmm. runs or less. That's a quality start. Okay, I like that.
And the reason why I think that, Mike, I was very surprised at this. You know, that Patrick Sandoval and Michael Lorenzen are living around a, like, 45% ground ball rate this season.
Hmm.
Suarez is a little bit lower. And these are, I looked at them earlier. I hope I'm getting these right. But they're a little bit lower. But I just want to compare stats between the Angels hitters and the Astros hitters.
Okay.
Look, these guys, the Astros, they are hitting into ground balls 40% of the time. So are we. Their hard hit percentage is 40.6%. The Angels' hard hit percentage is 38.3%. The home run rate for the Astros, 3.7%. The home run rate for the Angels, 3.3%. So it's odd to me that a lot of the hitting side of things, these teams are very similar. But here's one thing that I actually think is the most interesting, and it's the extra base taken percentage.
Okay.
And this is the percentage of times that the Angels take the extra base when they have the opportunity to, and they stretch a single to a double or a double to a triple. The Astros have a 38% extra base taken percentage.
Okay.
And the Angels sit at 42. And it's
wow.
those little subtleties that I think are going to help us, like you said, sweep this weekend. But I have to say, going back to my prediction of the quality start, when you think about the ground ball percentage and the ground ball rate that all three of our starters can get, and I look at the Astros who are hitting ground balls 40% of the time. Now, the other 40%, 40% hard hit percentage is also pretty high. So you got to be careful about these guys because they are hitting it hard, and
yeah.
we've seen that with
yeah.
the Astros. But at the same time, the Angels are at 38%, like I mentioned. So all in all, it's just the offensive side here is very similar. But I think if our pitchers can take advantage of hitting those balls on the ground, in fact, the both teams actually 52% of the time aren't pulling or hitting the opposite way. They're hitting them up the middle. 52% of their hits go up the middle.
Wow.
And I think that if we stop shifting so hard and we play these guys straight up, especially in such a weird stadium
yeah.
like Minute Maid Park,
yeah.
I really think that our defense can come through this weekend against the Astros. So I'm hoping that between Lorenzen, Sandoval, and Suarez, we get a lot of balls on the ground. And the defense can really pick them up. We need quick innings if we're going to have quality starts. And the quickest way to a quick inning is a one-pitch, one-out kind of inning, right?
Yeah.
And I don't think these guys need to get too fancy with their pitching. I don't think they need to try so hard to strike everybody out. And take advantage of the numbers. Don't have such a dramatic shift. Don't try to strike out everybody. The Astros are striking out at a 20% clip. The Angels are striking out at a 25.5% clip. So
wow.
They're not going to strike out very often. They're
yeah.
they're hard hitters, and if you keep putting stuff in the zone for them, they're going to hit it hard. So try to fool them, try to get them off balance so that they're hitting things on the ground, and I think that our starters could have a very successful weekend.
Well, it's incredible content like this where I just make ridiculous, bold predictions, and then Johnny backs it up with great stats. Thank you for that. I don't sound so ridiculous now. Is why you make Locked On Angels your first listen of the day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On MLB Prospects Show. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he goes deep into the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, you can give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter at Super Halo Bros. You can also follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Angels. Of course, we love connecting with you there. Mike, what do we have on deck for Monday's episode?
It's Mailbag Monday, but we want to
yes,
put a twist on that. We want you to be as ridiculous as we have been. So if you can today, tweet at us, send us a voicemail, send us a direct message. Here's the great thing. We want you to make your bold predictions, and we're going to talk about them on Monday. If you're watching this, you see the voicemail line on the screen, 714-409-6396. Give us your bold predictions for the weekend.
There you go. The voicemail number will also be in the episode description for you if you want to give us a call. But again, tweet at us, message us, DM us, get at us on Instagram, and we'll see you right back here on Monday. Until then, my name is John, and that's my brother Mike.
And my name is Mike, and that's my brother John.
Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here for more Locked On Angels.